I'd like you to turn to the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at a number of verses before we're through, but there is a keynote here that I'd like us all to understand before we go any farther. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is watching the flock on the backside of the desert, which, by the way, means the side of the desert that is away from Egypt. Egypt was always the front. The backside was the side toward the east. And Moses was occupied with a mundane task of looking after sheep. He was not, I think, expecting for what was going to happen here, but it was something that determined the rest of his life. Verse 2 tells us that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. The bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, this was obviously a miraculous sight, and Moses was struck with the vision of the flames coming out of that bush, but the leaves were not shriveling up, nothing was consumed, but it looked like it was on fire. In verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Now, that's interesting. Here he is in the desert, the backside of the desert, an obscure place. And in this place, he sees a miraculous event, a bush burning with fire, and it cannot be consumed. He's transfixed by the sight. But God, in verse 6, identifies himself. "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Yes, he is awestruck at the sight of the divine glory that is shining from that bush. And the Lord goes on to explain to him that he has seen the affliction that his people are going through in Egypt. Verse 8 says, "I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land into a good land, a large, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites," a whole group of tribes that lived in the area. Now, this was something that Moses had not planned. This was not something that he expected to have happen. He was here doing something that was a benefit for the family of Jethro, his father-in-law. And in the midst of all this occupation, God singles him out and tells him, "I have work for you to do." In verse 10, the Lord says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." Now, very interesting. The Lord is here telling Moses that he has a particular place of service for him. It's in the middle of the backside of the desert. Now, that's odd. Now, why would God have something for him to do out there in the middle of nowhere? Well, the key is at Mount Horeb, because another name for it was Mount Sinai. And that was going to be the place where God revealed to Moses, and through him to all men, what the commandments were that God expected from his people. That was going to be the revelation of the law that fills some five books of the Old Testament. Now, this is something that we must absorb. God brought him to this place to tell him he was going to serve in this place. That is a tremendous privilege, to be able to serve God. But to do so at a designated place, named and prepared ahead of time, shows us the importance of what is here given. 5 books of the Bible came out of that service. A whole millennium of service in Israel came out of that manifestation. And it is still the watchword of the people of Israel. Now, serving God is not a minor detail. Serving God is the most important thing any of us can do. But in most cases, it's relegated to a kind of part-time job. We show up on Sunday and we worship God, that's nice. We show up at prayer meeting and we worship God, that's nice. We try to be available for Him for during the week, being a witness, a testimony for Him. All that is nice, that's right. But serving God is not just on Sunday or accidental times. It is something that should go on every day, all the time, with all of God's people. You say, well, you know, I've got work to do. I have to work at this job. I have to do this, that, and the other. Oh, yes, we're all aware of that. And you still serve God. Now, this tells us that the service of God is not limited to public services, such as this one in which we are today. It is a life that serves Him. It is the whole existence of the individual believer that serves Him. And God may choose that you serve now to a given person, apparently by accident, or through writing a letter, or through encountering someone accidentally in a place you don't expect. All these are open doors of service. Because your service is of the living God, who is ordering your life and the steps of your life so that you may be part of His eternal plan. He is accomplishing His will in your life and in the lives of others. And He expects all of us to give ourselves to this service, to be ready to serve anywhere, anytime. For Moses, it was a surprise. The backside of the desert, on a mountain, not much different from mountains all around it. Why there? Well, it was God's choice. And it was going to result in 5 books of the Bible. Now, Moses didn't foresee that. He didn't plan that ahead of time. He was simply available. He wanted to serve, obviously. He was prepared to serve, and God said, yes, you will serve me in this mountain. He gave him a tremendous opportunity of writing the first 5 books of the Bible. Now, friends, we can all see ourselves in this. We are not aware of all the things that God wants us to do. We are not sure about how to serve, how to accomplish this, that, and the other. We're kind of feeling our way along. Yes, but God is very sure. He already knows exactly how every one of us should serve, exactly the place, exactly the timing of each service. Nothing is a surprise to Him. He has it mapped out already. Now, that tells us something, that we should not go through life wringing our hands, worrying about the future. Now, frankly, these times that we are going through are stressful times for our country and for many people. Times of depression, times of tightness of money, and so on. Well, God knows all that, and He is leading His people anyway. His blessing on His people does not always show up in the amount of material goods that are available. His blessing oftentimes comes in a quiet way. The satisfaction of having served by talking to that person about the Lord, by accomplishing something that your church appreciates, by doing things that no one knows about, but that God is pleased with. It is a case where we are serving God wherever He leads us, on whatever pathway we find ourselves, and we're watching for opportunities. Now, we must never forget that. Chance encounters with people, opportunities to do this, that, or the other. Never turn up your nose at this. These are opportunities that God brings before you. And He has already planned what He wants you to do in those regards. It would be sad to shrink back and say, well, I just don't feel like it today. That misses an opportunity that perhaps will never return. Open doors are always a suggestion of what God wants you to do. The pathway that shines before you and beckons you onward, that is God's pathway for you, unless He says, obviously, no, there's a side trip here, in which case your plans change at once. But He's in charge of all that. And we can serve God every place He leads us, in any direction that He points, if we are listening to His word and walking humbly with Him. Moses was doing that. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 11, the Lord said to me, arise, take thy journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swear unto their fathers to give unto them. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear, reverence the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. So, the service of God must be for the whole person, with all the heart, with all the soul, with all that is within you. Service that is concentrated on performing precisely what God wants. There's far too much, quote, Christian service that goes on half-heartedly, sort of with the left hand, and you are right-handed, or in reverse if it's the other way around. Something that is also done rather than the most important thing. Now, many times we have schedules to follow, things to get done, and the chance opportunities we see, we kind of brush past because, well, they're not the main thing for today. But oftentimes those chance opportunities of talking with someone, being a help to someone, those are things that God brings, which in His eyes may very well be the number one task. And too often we have a different set of priorities. But recognize what He is saying here. We are to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with everything that is within you, all your being, you are to serve God. Now, friends, we tend to have a divided allegiance. We tend to be doing this, that, and the other. Well, because people expect it of us, it's opportunities that are too good to miss, and we also serve God. But He's talking here about an order of priorities that is unmistakable. His service is number one. What He wants us to do is the most important single thing in our life. And oftentimes, we haven't got that clarified yet. But it's something that we need to clear, because our whole life depends upon this, to be able to follow God's leading, to recognize from His word the path that is before us, and when the opportunity opens up, to be prepared, ready to seize that opportunity for the Lord, to seek, to find His precise will in situations that oftentimes are puzzling. But they're opportunities, and God's hand is there, giving you a chance to say something about the Lord, to do something for His people, to accomplish something in His eternal plan. And we don't often see it that way. They're just things that happen. But nothing that ever happens to a believer is just chance. Everything that happens before you is planned, not by you, but by the Lord. And these opportunities must be seized, because many times they come only that time. Many times it's a person that you will never see again, never have an opportunity to serve or accomplish God's will with. So in all things, we've got to be prepared, ready to serve the Lord with all our heart, all that is within us, waiting for indications of what the next step should be. In verse 17, there's an explanation given. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now here's an indication of God's leading and guidance. What about the stranger? What about the person you don't really know well? The chance acquaintance. It's very important. Now, there is no chance acquaintance in the life of the believer. The people you run into, unplanned, are there because they're part of God's plan. And every one of us must be alert on that score. Someone shows up, that's not an accident. That's a providential work of God. Why did you run into this person? Why is this opportunity before you? What does God expect of you in that? The trouble with us, we're preoccupied with other things. We've got our own plans. We've got our own schedule to follow. And this, well, this is an accident. No, it's not an accident. Whatever it is, it's part of God's plan for the day, part of what He sets before you as opportunities to serve Him. If you think this way, you're not going to be ambushed by circumstances. You're going to realize that all circumstances are providentially arranged by the Lord. They happen the way they do because God wants you to be there at that time for these people for a definite reason. And that changes the whole situation. It's not something that you should be fearful of, because He is always guiding your steps. It's not something that you should be ignorant of, because opportunities are precious. They are opportunities to serve the Lord. And you serve as you seize those opportunities, recognizing them for what they are, and speaking a word in season to the people that you have a chance to. Serving God is a full-time job. It goes on all day long, every day, because your pathway is His guided pathway for your life. And His service is already laid out for you in that pathway. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel is proclaiming the kingdom rule of the Lord to the people. And if we may drop down to verses 14 and following, Samuel says to the people, "If ye will fear the Lord and serve Him and obey His voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers." Now here's a declaration by a great prophet. Samuel is one of the most powerful servants of the Lord in the Old Testament. And here he gives the word of the Lord very clearly. There needs to be reverence for the Lord. Reverence because he is God and we are his servants. There must be obedience. There must be the squashing of rebellion. Because always in the heart of every person, there's some kind of a voice saying, well, I need to do this and I want to do that. And this is something that's profitable for me. And we have to learn how to get rid of that voice, to hold it down to where it does not influence our actions. And we have to think of, what does the Lord want? What is the service that he expects in this circumstance? How can I best serve him? That's a definite act of will that is expected of all of us. We don't just wander aimlessly through life, but we go on a definite path that he has given us, and we have to keep asking, Lord, why is this person here? What am I supposed to say? Who is this person that I should be with? Why is this important? We need to keep asking ourselves these things. Always the Lord has a plan. Always there's opportunity to serve him. Always the Lord is leading and guiding us, and we are walking humbly with him. There's no day that you ever live that is a chance day where you can just simply wander through it with no responsibilities. Every day is a gift from God. Every day he has planned out. Every day there are things that you need to accomplish for him. And we have to keep asking him, Lord, what is it? What should I be doing now? Who should I be helping now? Why am I in this place now? The answer to that is a glorious opportunity. In Psalm 100, one of the great and glorious psalms in that book, the psalmist says in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now, here's a keynote. Far too many Christians serve the Lord solemnly. It's a solemn obligation. But this is a completely different attitude. This is the attitude of one who is thrilled at the prospect of serving God, who is joyous at the idea of being a tool in the hands of the Almighty. It's a marvelous privilege. And the psalmist is saying, yes, make a joyful noise, a song of praise to the Lord, all ye lands. Everybody, all across the face of the earth, serve the Lord with gladness. It is a joyous opportunity. Come before his presence with singing. Now, that's a wonderful thing to do, to sing while you're doing work for the Lord. One of the earliest memories I had, as a little tot in a home, a Christian home where my mother was busy with housework, and here she is standing at the sink doing dishes and singing hymns. That sticks in my memory after all these years. She always sang while she did housework. And the way it was done, that's all. Now, at that age, singing was not my business. But I listened, and I heard the old hymns. And she knew them by heart. And so there she is, working away, singing one hymn after another. And it wasn't drudgery, it wasn't hard work. It was a joy, and she was celebrating while she was working. Well, I've never forgotten that. I'm afraid that the way I do service is oftentimes without the song. And we can relate to that somehow. We get the work done, we do the job, but not exactly singing about it. But this is an opportunity, and here the psalmist tells us to do that very thing, to make a joyful noise, to sing to the Lord in celebration and praise, because he's listening and he is pleased when we are joyful in our service. Now, that's something we have to learn to do. It doesn't come automatically. To serve and sing while we serve in our hearts. We don't necessarily break forth in song on the street corner. But in our hearts, we can sing praise to God while we are doing ordinary tasks, drudgery sometimes. Paul touches upon this in Romans chapter 7. In Romans 7:4, the Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." Now, we have within us the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God has taken up residence in your heart. He is there to accomplish the purpose of the Father in our lives. We've been delivered from the law. Moses gave them a great gift in the Pentateuch, but it was just the beginning of the revelation. Now in Romans, we come to one of the climactic points of God's revelation, the marvelous grace that is in Christ, that has broken the power of sin, that has enabled us to serve God as we should. And now, delivered from the legalism of the Old Testament, we can serve in newness of spirit. There's a new pathway that opens up before us. It is not just a list of rules that we're keeping. It is not just ceremonies we are going through. It is a life in which he can guide us daily, a life of service and blessing and opportunities. And in all of it, his hand is upon us to accomplish his work. What a blessed opportunity that he's given us. And so we should serve in newness of spirit. It's not drudgery. It's not ordinary work. It's a marvelous opportunity to think that the Lord of the universe would open up before us opportunities of accomplishing his eternal purpose, of sowing the seed of the word in people's hearts, of giving them encouragement and help along the pathway. These are part of his plan. This is why you encounter people. Every time you run into another person, remember, God engineered that meeting. It is his purpose that you should be hunting for, his purpose in accomplishing his will. Now, this makes all day long, every day, a series of opportunities to serve God, to be a blessing, to help other people along the pathway, to give guidance where needed. All of it comes from his hand. And we should recognize it for what it is, an opportunity to serve. Every day is a day of service. We're not here on vacation. We're not here to make money and get rich. We're here to serve God. So whatever is going on is an opportunity to accomplish his will and to serve him in ways that are just without number, opportunities that go on every day, all day long, opportunities that will last for all eternity if they are seized and used. Serve in newness of spirit. It is not drudgery. It is not just keeping the law. It is keeping a watch for what God wants you to do this day and to influence these people for him. In Hebrews chapter 12, dropping down to verse 25 and following, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Now here's a warning. The revelation of God comes to us with distinct purpose. He says in verse 27, "This word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." A divine word, a word of power. "Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. All right, let us not be moved. Let us not be worried. Let us not tremble at the opportunities. No, it's all God's plan. Let us instead have grace. Now, do you realize that for every opportunity that God sets before you, however it happens, God has already imparted to you the grace to serve Him in that opportunity? He never traps anyone. He never pushes anyone into a situation that He is not prepared for. Every day, all day long, the things that happen are His order. He's put you in that place at that time with those people to accomplish His purpose. Every day, His grace is ready. Every day you can turn to Him and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. Lord, I don't know what to say to this person." There are countless times that this comes to mind. But Lord, give me the right word. Help me to do the right thing. Accomplish Thy purpose here. And that means there should be an ongoing conversation between you and the Lord. As events unfold, as things happen, you're talking to the Lord all the time. "Lord, here's this person. Why is he here? What do I need to say to him, Lord? Why did this happen? Why do I have this opportunity? Lord, what should I do here?" Keep asking. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And those events are part of it. And if you can't see a relationship, don't worry, He can. He knows precisely why they're happening. He knows exactly what you ought to be doing. Ask Him. Now, friends, this is the secret of the overcoming Christian life. Asking the Lord what He wants. Seeking His guidance. Learning how to serve by His grace, in His timing, with people that He brings out of nowhere into your life. Now, all of us can relate to this, because this is what's going on. We're meeting countless numbers of people. We're having all kinds of opportunities, and the vast majority of them, we drop the ball. We fail to accomplish anything in the encounter. But God had a different plan, and we have to keep asking, "Lord, why is this person here? What am I supposed to say?" He'll tell you. Now, let us have grace. That kind of a life demands grace. You are not wise enough to come up with all the words you should use. You are not wise enough to plan the events properly. God is planning them. He has given you words in a book. You have the message already there. And as you go through life, we must keep asking God, "What is the next step? What is the path that I should follow? What are the words I should be saying to this person?" Always He has a will in the matter. Always He is prepared to lead and guide according to His perfect will. Let us have grace. That's where it comes from. Now, friends, there's another scene that I want us to see in Revelation chapter 22. We all know that the Bible ends with a vision of tremendous glory, a vision of such splendor and majesty that it takes our breath away. Revelation chapter 22. "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Now, here is living water indeed. The grace and sustaining power of God flowing out from this throne, this majestic throne. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, the tree of life started out as one tree in the garden, but it didn't stay there. God transplanted it to this place in heaven. And now, at this place where the water of life flows from the throne of God, this majestic presence in heaven, the tree is there, but it's not like a little Christmas tree planted someplace. It lines the banks of the stream. I've mentioned this before, that it's like the aspens. When you have an aspen tree, it always is a grove because the roots end up sprouts that become new aspens all around it. And that's what the tree of life has done. It's on both banks of the stream. It's all over, which tells us we're going to be praising God in the midst of a beautiful park, a forest of tremendous trees, this great stream flowing through it. You know, we can't think of a place that would be more beautiful, more restful, more peaceful than a park filled with tremendous trees, splashing water, and a multitude of God's people praising God, celebrating His goodness and His greatness. Yes, that's what He intends. That's where we're going. That's the conclusion of His plan. Friends, that is where we're going to be serving God. Here we're in the desert. Here we're struggling with difficulties. Here we're going on a pathway that is hard. But there, it'll be in His presence with blessing and benefit, with all the saints singing the praises of God, joy filling the atmosphere, the surroundings, a great park, tremendous trees, splashing waters. And it's never going to end. It will go on and on. And the multitudes keep joining the people of God. They keep growing in numbers. New acquaintances, new blessings in sharing with the saints of God the blessings of the past. You'll be able to think of people that did kindness for you. You never had a chance to thank them. You'll have all eternity to thank them. There'll be people there who accomplished wonderful things for you. And you'll be able to seek them out and tell them how much you appreciate it. There'll be meeting people, perhaps, that you never knew. Ancestors or friends, you never had the chance to get acquainted with them. But if they know the Lord, they'll be there. And you'll be able to converse with them and visit with them and find out how God worked in their lives. What a fascinating thing. There's not going to be a dull moment in heaven. Think of the opportunity, talking not merely to people that you know, but to people you've never met, other generations, saints and patriarchs and apostles. Yeah, they're all there. A tremendous opportunity of fellowship, joy, celebration. It's never going to end. The multitude keeps coming, keeps coming. How great is God's plan for the universe? It's never going to end. It's going to be tremendous. It's there because God loves us. He gives us a chance to serve, not for a little while, but forever. And the chance is going to be golden indeed, with the saints and the angels and the presence of our dear Lord. It's His plan. It's a perfect plan. Friends, let's make sure that here and now, in this humble place, we serve Him as we should, and be a blessing to as many people as we can, because He's preparing a tremendous consummation. The service is never going to end. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, can you think of someone, a relative, a friend, a neighbor, who needs help spiritually? Can you think of someone that you could serve God by going to and visiting them and providing some help for them one way or another, giving them the gospel, leaving a tract? If you can think of some such thing, will you seize that opportunity to serve, to accomplish God's purpose, not yours, but His? O Lord, Help thy people, all of us, to seize the opportunities of service that come. Give us the perception that we need to recognize the opportunities when they come and to be faithful in accomplishing thy purpose in the hearts and lives of others. Enable us to serve thee from the heart with joy and celebration. And Lord, help us that we may have the perception of seeing the opportunities of service that we have, of recognizing them, and accomplishing thy eternal purpose by being where we should be, when we should be, doing thy will. Give us such grace and the joy of thy presence with us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.